Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, December 23rd, 2016. Congratulations as you have made it. Hopefully you guys, I guess, yeah, most of you probably do have to work full days on Friday. Hopefully you get out a little early. I know my office lets us out a tiny bit early. So, but you made it. The weekend is here. The holiday weekend is here. Christmas, fantastic. It's glorious. For DFS purposes, Friday is a nightmare. In a good way, though, because it's 14 games. So get some oxygen. Get some coffee. There's a lot to tackle. And before we break down and get into the meat of the show, I'll talk about the strategy I use for a slate this big. I mean, this stinks. The problem is a 14-game slate is because the NBA decides that basketball players need a day off on Christmas Eve. So they, you know, to make up in the schedule, basically every team except two are playing on Friday. But I guess the guys can get. It's good to give the NBA players a day off on Christmas Eve, right? So, but that's why there's 14 games on Friday. That's why this week is a little crazy. And then there's only 5 games on Christmas. So they had to jam all these games into Friday. But we will find a way to take advantage of it and make some money. Before we start the show, it's very important that you rate and review the podcast. I have told you, my young jurors, we have fallen out of the rankings. This makes the judge very unhappy. Man, there's such crappy shows when I look at like the iTunes. Some of the shows in that top 150, once you get really down there, we should easily be in that top 150. So if you can do the judge a big favor. Man, it's 3:20 a.m. on a early Friday morning or late Thursday night. The judge is pounding and grinding away podcasts. The least you can do is rate and review for him and subscribe, obviously, to the podcast. It would be much appreciated. Let us get back in the rankings. It will be a victory for us all. And then we will have a big party. But again, that does help a lot, especially with things like sponsors. And like every time you guys rate and review the podcast, it actually makes a big difference. I never knew that. Before you do podcasting stuff, like, you know, you always hear that when you listen to podcasts. You don't think that actually makes a difference, but it really does. Also, I hope you've downloaded the app Draft by now. I've lectured you a lot on this. I put some of you in prison. I've withheld Chambers from some of you. The bailiff has not spoken to you. He's not letting you scratch his leg. Or scratch his tummy, or scratch his ears. So hopefully you've downloaded the app Draft and you challenged me. Remember, I am the judge. You do have to spell the on that app. And let's keep that going over this lovely holiday weekend. And make sure you use the promo code when you download, because if you don't use the promo code, it does me no good, man. So you got to use the promo code DFBPOD. And I know a lot of you have tweeted at me or hollered at me through the website. dgcourtroomdfs.com. You can email me that way too if you don't have a Twitter. Some of you guys don't have Twitter, which always surprises me. But hey, I guess that's if you can get through life without Twitter, I mean, you're probably saving a lot of time because I'm on Twitter way too much as it is. But so if you have downloaded the app and you didn't find a spot to put the promo code, you know, or you couldn't figure it out, just, you know, holler at me either on Twitter or via email, and I will make sure that we rectify that. Also, one last little housekeeping business before we get into the show. The judge needs some graphics, like for a new design for like the cover of the podcast, because the name had to change because Mark and Kyle abandoned me and made me go all solo. So we need the show's DG Courtroom or DG's Courtroom. That's another thing. I can't decide if I want a DG's Courtroom or just DG. I think I'm just going to go with DG, which are my real initials. Because if you look at like podcasts, there's really no apostrophe S's in any like podcast names. And I think that'd make it hard to search for and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, if any of you guys are good with like graphic design or something like that, and you can make, you know, make something for the judge, it would be much appreciated, because I am horrific with, you know, all the IT stuff and the graphics. And yeah, so or if you know someone really good, if you could let the judge know, that would be much appreciated. See, I help you, you help me. We have a mutual relationship here. Feels good. Lastly, I would say, if you still want to get in and do some of my premium services, which are, you know, I'm doing a lot of consultations, you know, again, just tweet at me or email me and let me know. I'm you know, 30-minute phone consults. I already have a pretty big waiting list for that. So, and I only want to do like one or two a day because I just don't have the time. But if you really think that'd be beneficial for you to kind of go over your process, the research, what tools I use, you know, roster construction, you know, what tournaments or what lineups, you know, what contests you're entering, we can go over all that stuff during a phone consultation. I actually did a funny one yesterday. Well, funny in retrospect, that where basically all the guy wanted to do, was, it was a good DFS player, was just to build lineups with me. So we just spent like a half hour building lineups. And I basically kind of told him, towards the end, we kind of built one of our favorite lineups, and basically a lineup with all the guys that I liked, but I just wasn't going to play. It was going to fade. And I kind of was explaining, look, there's a good chance that lineup will go off, even though those are the guys I'm going to fade. And sure enough, like that lineup, I think he put in a $1 GPP and ended up winning like $25. And it was, so, I mean, DFS can be crazy like that. All right, let's talk about Chambers for Thursday. The judge did not have a good Thursday. Hopefully you guys did. The guys that I was on, for the most part, didn't perform. And then there were a couple guys on a small slate like that you just had to have. Like, you had to have Justice Winslow, who went bonkers and almost gave you a 50-burger. And you had to have like a Thaddeus Young or a Thomas Robinson. You'd have one of those guys. My boy Thad Young has come back and done well. And the Draymond Green news was the thing that threw me off all day. I was, you know, probably going to fade a lot of that Brooklyn Golden State game. And then once he went out, as I did further research, and I saw how the usage rate of Curry goes bonkers when Draymond Green's out, I went like all in on Steph Curry, which I don't think I've done all year. And I mean, he ended up like salvaging the night, quite honestly, because, you know, Chris Paul ended up getting somewhat injured and didn't do that well either. But he was enough where I wasn't going to win a ton of money anyway. And Jeff Teague continues just to dominate. I mean, the Indiana Teagues are phenomenal. You got to love Jeff Teague. And Isaiah Thomas played well too. So, I mean, the three point guards I was on, Chris Paul, Curry, and the Dragon, all played like crap. And that's not good. And on paper, they all had phenomenal matchups. And that's DFS, man. It's going to happen. But for Chambers, so I am legend, the legend himself. Got his third win of the year, his sixth time he's cashed in Chambers. I think he's currently ranked number 6 in the power rankings. Congrats to him. MG Fresh. This guy is relatively new to the Chambers, but he's been making a name for himself. His second win, his fifth cash. Kudos to you, my friend. And we have a newbie taking down his first win and first cash, Lorenz 101. So good job for you guys. Friday, you know what Fridays are in Chambers, right? It is the best of the best, the cream of the top. Only the best players in DFS land can enter this tournament. If you are worthy, you shall receive an invitation. Sometimes FanDuel does it. I do it like via email, whatever. So it's whatever you have email you have signed up via FanDuel. So make sure you check that email, because I like to write a little note to say congrats to the people who have made the best of the best each week, each Friday. And also, I will try to update the power rankings on Friday, but they might not be updated until Saturday. Hopefully I can get them up Friday. So that'll be exciting. I also think I'm going to change the power rankings. Right now, I only have the top 10 in the power rankings. And again, you can see that at dgcourtroomdfs.com. Just go to the website and click on power rankings. Right. I think that because we have so many, we've had over 300 people in Chambers now. The demand keeps growing and people have had such good results. I think I'm going to increase that to a top 20 for the power rankings. I think it's well-deserved. We also will have two other Chambers on Friday, because for the people who didn't make the best of the best, it's not fair to you guys, right? Especially if you don't have a chance to play every day, because it's hard to get in there. So I'm still going to have two other Chambers that you guys can get in and battle it. And one day maybe you too can qualify for the best of the best. All right. we don't have a lot of time before Dream Killers and Dream Lovers today because we have 14 games late. Draymond Green is my soul crusher because he destroyed what I was going to do with my lineup. I hate you, Draymond Green. And the fact that he's a father, like, I don't know why it kind of sickens me. I hate that guy. I really do. I think he's a horrible person. But just on the basketball part, in real life, he may be great. All right, so 14 game slates. What is the judge's strategy for a slate like this? Because this is too many games. It's too much data. Even if you didn't work full time and you had 10 to 12 hours, could you really go through all the data? And if you're a professional and you're using a computer generated program to spit out random lineups, yeah, it's not an issue for you. I mean, those guys probably love slates like this. But for the rest of us, the rest of those 98% or so who have real jobs and all that stuff, we can't spend 8-10 hours a day researching. Even spending 2 to 3 is hard. But so what we have to do, find a way to narrow the player pool. And I know it's painful, but we have to do it. So look, this is what I do. You got to make tough choices. I mean, you make every night in DFS, we're making tough choices. And for a 14 game slate is no difference, except at the outset, I just make some tough choices initially. And what I do is I cut out games. I cut out entire games completely. Normally, I'll just look for the over-under of a few games, and I'll X out the lowest ones in pace. Do you guys know how I love and I want to focus on pace? Fewer pace, fewer possessions, fewer FanDuel points. So I look at Toronto, Utah at 200 and over-under. That's low. I mean, I wish there were games in the 180s. I wish there was a Memphis, Utah, a Memphis, Dallas, Sacramento, Dallas. Unfortunately, a 200 over-under isn't horrible, but I can't have a player pool of 400 players. It's just not going to work throughout the day. I got to narrow it somehow. So that Toronto, Utah game, for the most part, I'm Xing out. Hopefully you guys do have some type of player pool you look at. I mean, I have an Excel spreadsheet and I have all my guys that I'm looking at for point guard, shooting guard, every position. Hopefully you guys do have something like that. If you don't, you definitely should. You can go old school and do it on a pen and paper. You should have a list somewhere of all the guys you're considering for each position. But for everyone for that game, no one's going to make my list except Joe Ingles. I'm going to put on there because Hood's out still. And I think Ingles, he's cheap, a cheap guy that I still might want to play a little bit. And maybe Gordon Hayward, I'll leave on there. But for the rest of the guys, sorry, even though I love Lowry, DeMar, sorry, fellas, I can't play you. I love my boy Valanciunas, sorry. I'm not going to play Valanciunas against Gobert. Xing that game out. Another game, we're waiting for 4 over-unders. Dallas Clippers, Dallas against the Clippers. That's got to be a nasty over-under. I would say it's going to be a 198, maybe, something like that. So I'm Xing that game out. Done. Finished. Now, I will say this. If Chris Paul, who tweaked a hamstring and they're playing on Christmas, I would not expect him to play against the bumbling, stumbling, moronic Mavericks, who have actually played a little better. Wes Matthews made me a lot of money, so I like Dallas right now. But I'm just going to X that game out. But if Chris Paul doesn't play, I mean, Austin Rivers, he does get a big bump in usage. He gets a 5.5% bump in usage when there's no Blake and no Chris Paul. So therefore, just because I'm a glutton for punishment, Austin Rivers is going to make my list if there's no CP3. Otherwise, look, I'm going to have to X out that game. I think they're going to put Wes Matthews on Chris Paul for a lot of that game anyway. And Wes Matthews is a legit defender. So, boom. So now we're on, right there, 12 games late. And those are the only two games initially that I want to X out. But as the day progresses, I will absolutely knock off another 2 or 3 games. Again, you need ways to reduce the player pool. The Bulls-Hornets game, that's the next game. That's another game I'm looking to X out. Miami-New Orleans, that could be a potential game I just X out. Sacramento, Minnesota. I mean, it's going to be the games that are the lowest in the over-under that I'm going to just X out. And hopefully I'll end up with, 8 or 9 games left on, which is somewhat manageable, compared to 14. That's fantastic. Now, is that the best? And again, some of those games I'll still maybe, you heard me, right? I'm keeping Ingles for Utah on my sheet. I'm going to put Austin Rivers. So I'll still maybe 1 or 2 guys from those games. For the most part, you can knock out whole games, reduce the player pool. All right, let's talk injuries. because there's a decent amount already for Friday, and it's going to impact because the bunch of value is going to open up. We got Julius Randle. I don't know what the personal matter he's dealing with right now, but he's out again. Calderon's out. Nance is out. So, and Tariq Black, I think, is going to be out for the Lakers. So when you crunch the data on the Lakers, I have a nice little smoothie. I don't know if it's good to drink a smoothie at like 3:33 in the morning, but I felt like a smoothie, so here I am. So when I crunch the data with all these guys out, Russell, his usage rate goes up massively. I was pretty surprised at that. Luol Deng gets like a 7% increase in usage too, a massive increase for him. And Lou Williams gets a 3% increase in usage. And also T-Rob becomes in play. I know a lot of us played Thomas Robinson. I had like 5 or 6 tweets about Thomas Robinson. That's too many tweets about Thomas Robinson. It was annoying. But he actually came through because, look, the Lakers have no bigs right now. So Mozgov actually played well too on Thursday for the Lakers. So, you know, I think Russell, Deng, Lou Will, and T-Rob are all going to be, you know, pretty good plays on Friday as well. Draymond Green is going to be back because, you know, now after that he watched his wife give birth, he doesn't want to be stick around for that. So he flew back to the team. So I don't know. I forget. We'll get into who Golden State plays, but he's back. I hate the Warriors. I hate everything about them. Draymond, he ruined my life on Thursday. That SOB. Kevin Love is still out, so obviously Kyrie and LeBron. That's going to be interesting to see because Cleveland plays Brooklyn. We'll get into that in a little bit. I mean, Cleveland has a huge game against the Warriors on Christmas Day. So, you know, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, you wonder how much, and Cleveland's playing Brooklyn, so you wonder how many minutes because LeBron's been playing like so many minutes lately. It just makes no sense in his 14th year. Why is the guy playing like 47 minutes against Milwaukee in a regular season game? So. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how many minutes him and Irving get. But on paper, they are monster plays on Friday. Oladipo is still out with the right wrist issue for the Miami. Still lots of injuries for them. Even though they killed me on Thursday. Goran Dragic, what a bum. What a disgraceful bum. He played so pathetic. He was so scared. He didn't want to attack the paint against no one. There was no one for the Lakers. I mean, granted, I'll say this. Lakers played really hard. And they're still long. Like Ingram, he's such – even though he's like weighs 42 pounds, I don't know. They looked really active defensively. I was surprised, without any big guys in there. But, I mean, Dragic was an absolute mess and a disaster. And then, like, late in the game, he hits 2 3-pointers, and then he starts, like, pumping his fist and, like, screaming in the air. I literally wanted to get on a flight, like, fly to Miami and punch dude in the face because – like that, there's nothing worse when a player destroys your hopes and dreams in DFS, and then he gets you two meaningless baskets in real life, and then he starts celebrating, and it does you no good in DFS. You know, like especially if it brings you it can be worse in a couple different ways. One, you're like 40 points away from the cash line, and then it's just meaningless. Or if the cash line is like, you know, let's say it's 300 and it brings you like to 298 or something, and then it's just even more infuriating. But yeah, the Dragon, whatever. It's just seeing him celebrate when he put up such a disgraceful performance for DFS purposes was painful. Anyway, when you crunch the data, because the judge did, for when those Miami guys are out, Winslow actually gets a 2.2% usage rate, increase in usage, and maybe that's part of the reason why he went bonkers and for that 40, almost 50 FanDuel point night on Thursday. So if his price didn't go up, which I don't think it has, he's still a pretty nice play on Friday again. He was the only guy that stood out to me without Waiters, Ellington, and Magruder in terms of who gets a huge usage bump. Let's see. Brandon Knight for Phoenix. Looks like he's questionable. Otto Porter's questionable. Dwight Howard's going to be out again, so fire me up some Paul Millsap, who sees a nice little usage increase. Rodney Hood is out. When I did the data on what happens to Utah when Hood is out, not surprising. Gordon Hayward sees the big bump, 3.3% increase in the usage. So, And Ingles only gets a 1.4% increase in usage, but he's on the court more, and he doesn't need to score. So maybe, yes, that's why maybe I still will have to add Gordon Hayward again into my my list of players. All right, over-unders. Like I said, we're still waiting on four of them. The best game that we have up right now is Atlanta at Denver. 221.5, Denver favored by 4. I mean, dear God, we have the two teams in the league who cannot defend the guard position. This is glorious. I want to play every guard in this game. It's just, I mean, when you look at the defensive position for this game, the computer just starts glittering and glowing in the dark. It gets so excited because, as you know, Denver gives up the third most to point guards, second most to shooting guards. Atlanta gives up the second most to point guards and like the fifth most to shooting guards. So attack the guards for that. That's going to be, you know, a high over under. Nice little juicy game there. Otherwise, there's really no great over unders. Other than that, there's a bunch like that are rammed in like the 213, 210 range. Lakers, Orlando, Washington, Milwaukee, Golden State, Detroit. So there's nothing that stands out to me. You know, like I said, the nastiest game of the day is Toronto, Utah, Bulls, Hornets, Miami, Pelicans, and Houston, Memphis are the four cellar dwellers in terms of pace. It's weird to see Houston in the bottom of pace, but that's what Memphis will do to you. They'll ugly you up, man. So teams playing up in pace that I want to target, the Cavs against Brooklyn. That's one game where there's still no over-under. I guess maybe we're still waiting on Kevin Love news to see if he's going to play, although I don't think he's going to. Philadelphia is playing up in pace. They are playing Phoenix. That is a juicy game. There's also no over-under for that Philly-Phoenix game yet. I don't know who the hell. I guess we're waiting. Brandon Knight, really, really, guys? That's what's we're gonna make the Vegas needle move. I mean, that's ridiculous. Why can't we get a number for that? But Philly playing way up in pace. Detroit way up in pace against Golden State. I think Detroit's due. I mean, the karma gods should let Golden State lose on Friday. And Detroit should snap out of this little funk. And let's let those guys play well. How about a Reggie Jackson night? I can live with that. Orlando's playing up in pace against the Lakers. And Boston against Westbrook, Oklahoma City. And those are the teams I want to target the most. All right, let's hop into the plays. Today, guys, because it's 14 games, and look, I don't want an eight-hour show. I'm pretty sure you guys don't want an eight-hour show. Hearing me talk for an hour a day is probably enough for you guys. So we're going to go. It's the holiday season. We have 2 days left to shop and get presents for our loved ones or for girls who buy us or who sell us, you know, coats that are not warm enough for them. So what we need to do, we're going to do a little holiday shopping, bargain time shopping. This is a DG Courtroom's bargain shopping episode. We're only going to talk about guys that are priced 6K and under on the show at each position. Oh, I know. It's a big shocker, right? So hopefully, you know, I think at this point, the judge trusts you on your own for these top guys to kind of know what to do. But I will help you with the guys 6K and under. I was only going to do 5K and under, but then I thought, no, that would be wrong. Let's go 6K. And then obviously, if you guys still have questions, you guys, you know, tweet at me. We can work through some of the other guys either together. All right, I got to put on some air conditioning in here. The heat kicked in and the bailiff is calling me. All right. The bailiff says hello. He says, sorry about Chambers. He was late locking the doors today. But it's not easy for a dog to lock doors of chambers. It's very hard. Yeah, so like I put him on a stool. It's a whole ordeal. One day I'll do a little periscope for you guys. All right, so let's go point guard under 6K. Rajon Rondo is the first one up. Man, that's a nice way to start a show by talking about Rondo. Yeah, I don't want any part of this. This is one of the nastiest games of the night. Quite honestly, this might be a game that I completely just overlook. Because I don't want to attack it. It's 203 over under. It's disgusting. Rondo, he does have potential to give you 30-40, but not likely. And quite honestly, by watching these games and how it's only a matter of time before the Bulls either waive him, trade him, or just bench him because he's a detriment to that team in every possible way. D'Angelo Russell, 5.9K. I mentioned at the top of the show. is he gets a massive usage spike when there's no Randle, which, well, I mean, I looked at it, you know, it was no Randle, you know, Calderon, no Nance, no Terrence, no Tariq Black. But when you crunch all those guys in there, he sees a massive spike in usage. I mean, on Thursday, the best part about him against Miami, he got 32 minutes. It's the first time he's cracked the 30-minute barrier since, this is no joke, since November 15th. That's a long time. Now, granted, he was out for a long time dealing with, I think, a knee issue. But still, that's a good sign. He gave you 28 FanDuel points. He's an under-the-radar, sneaky play. You know, his usage rate anyway is pretty nice. Where's his usage rate? Where are you, little man? Where is it? Yeah, so 31% on the year anyway, and it's even higher with all these guys out. So he's a sneaky play on a 14-game – it's weird to say a 14-game slate. I repeat, a 14-game slate. Sneaky play. He's going to be overlooked. Not a great over-under game, so I don't mind him at all. Reggie Jackson. This is going to be a guy I'm going to pounce on. We're still get. He will be eventually, when the dust settles, a 7K player. He's Detroit playing way up in pace. He played pretty good against Memphis, quite honestly. 28 FanDuel points in 26 minutes. The minutes are still an issue. Detroit's still dealing with a bunch of inner turmoil, but nothing can get a team together. To a nice primetime game against Golden State. They should all be pumped up, all be motivated. And Reggie Jackson, we're still getting him at cheap. He could go for a 40-50 burger and help you take down a GPP. So he's a really nice tournament play. Do I want to roll him out in cash games on a 14-game slate? You know, probably not. But for tournaments, I think that's a very fair price. Ricky Rubio, 5.7K. This is not the day to be rolling out Rubio, I don't think, against Sacramento. Minnesota playing down in pace. Rubio, he's been better lately, especially with minutes and production, but if I do want to target a Rubio, it's going to be in a fast-paced game. Tyler Johnson against New Orleans. Yeah, I mean, I might want to scratch off this game. But if there's a guy that I would keep on my list for Miami, it would probably be Tyler Johnson and Winslow. You know, even though it's hard to leave off Dragic and Whiteside, I mean, Dragic did just kill us. But, I mean, Tyler Johnson, if you watch these Heat games, man, there's long stretches where it's his show. And he basically, we should call him Tyler Dragic, because Goran hides in a little corner like a scared little girl, and Tyler Johnson dominates. Dominates the ball, makes all the decisions. Spoelstra, you know, trusts Tyler Johnson a lot. He sure as hell doesn't trust Josh Richardson to do anything. That buffoon. So Tyler Johnson's an intriguing tournament guy. Again, in a 14-game slate, I don't think I'd do it in cash. But tournaments, yeah, you can definitely go that route. Patrick Beverley, 5.7K. I'm going to fade him. I think I'm going to fade him completely. I know he's been on a stupendous roll. He's been terrific. He's been far better than I ever thought he could be. I mean, he's at a floor of like 20 and a ceiling of like 40. He had 42 last game against Phoenix. Granted, it was against Phoenix, but 18 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. That's I don't care who you do it against in the NBA. It's pretty impressive. But for the last like 10 games or so, even more than that, he's just been really super rock solid. I mean, I think every game he's been locked to hit value. But against Memphis, I forgot who went off against Memphis a couple nights ago against Mike Conley. I think it was Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it's possible, but the price has come up. I'm just not going to do it. Darren Collison. Yeah, sorry, Mr. Collison. Your minutes are not going to Ty Lawson, so I don't want to touch you. Nope. Tim Frazier, another guy. Look, I know maybe he could go off. Maybe he'd be sneaky on a 14-game slate. I mean, this is the thing on a 14-game slate. You don't have to reach. Like on a 5-game slate like we had on Thursday, there you had to reach at some spots. There were some guys, you know, you were like, do I really want to play this guy? Not really, but it's 5-game slate. 14-game slate, you really don't have to do that. I mean, you have options galore at every position. So a guy like Frazier, yeah, I don't really need a guy like that in my life. On Friday, Jordan Clarkson's 5.1K. Another guy. I mean, if there's a guy from the Lakers backcourt I'm going to take, it's going to probably be Russell, maybe some Lou Will. Jordan Clarkson, yeah, not for me on a 14-game slate. Emmanuel Mudiay. Yeah, I'm going to have a little bit of exposure. He's a roller coaster ride. He's at Magic Mountain with me. but he does have 40 FanDuel point upside, and he is up against Atlanta. And Dennis Schroeder, as well as Dennis Schroeder, is playing on the offensive end. You can attack these Atlanta guards, and that puts Moutier at his price. You know, he's a really interesting tournament play on this slate. Sergio Rodriguez, I mean, I just don't want to do it on a 14-game slate. I know it's against Phoenix. He's cheap. He's 4.9K. He did get 31 minutes last game. So in theory, if you want to roll him out for cash, you can do it. He's been really bad the last few nights. But, yeah, you can do it. Phoenix is so bad. Other than that, Ty Lawson's the price has come up a little bit on him, but 4.5K. I still think that's fair. I mean, 28 and 34 FanDuel points the last two. In the last three games, he's got 26, 29, 29 minutes. And really for the last week and a half, he's been playing over 24 minutes a night. So let's say, that should go on the rise. And the last game he played was against Utah, 28 FanDuel points against Utah. You should, on FanDuel, we should get like double the points if you're against like Utah or Memphis. That's what I think. So really it was like 54 if you want to double it. But he's a pretty safe play. At this stage, he's clearly better than Collison. If there's a guard I'm going to use for Sacramento, it's going to be Ty Lawson, not Collison. So he's okay. Other than that, Patty Mills, because Parker's going to be out, you can roll him out if you want. A little Mac Daddy if you want to do in tournaments. I'm probably not going to do it. Austin Rivers, I told you, if Chris Paul is out, I will use a little Austin in probably tournaments, just because his usage takes a massive bump without Blake and without Chris Paul. I mean, someone's got to handle the ball. Someone's got to shoot. And that's it for point guard. Shooting guard. Under 6K. Not even going to mention Tyreke Evans. So Lou Williams, 5.8K. I told you, he's like a blister. This guy will not go away. Sweet Lou. He's so handsome, too. 30 FanDuel points against Miami on Thursday, 28 minutes, 27 actual points. He's a one-trick pony, but a one-trick pony, the pony that, like, just, you know, doesn't get tired and continues to impress. It's like, you know, the kids keep going to this ride. Wherever this one-trick pony is, the kids want to get on the pony. And he's performing. He's producing. I don't love the matchup here. It's not a great paced game. What was the over-under of this again? I mean, quite honestly, right now it's 213 over-under. That is one of the highest ones posted right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's okay. For tournaments, you can do it. I wouldn't do it in cash. Eric Gordon, 5.7K. My boy Eric Gordon, he's just safe floor, great ceiling. The problem is here in Memphis. So, sadly, I mean, Houston playing way down in pace. This may be a day I'm going to have to fade my boy Eric Gordon. You can still do it in tournaments. I wouldn't do it in cash games for Friday, though. KCP, 5.5K. Yeah, the last two games for him, I mean, he's since Reggie Jackson came back, I mean, KCP's is at a therapist's office, or he's making us go to a therapist. 14, 9, I said 9, 33, and 35 the last four games. You hope against Golden State, all these Detroit guys get pumped up, and, you know, maybe they muck this game up, and they keep it close. Detroit's playing way up in pace, extra possessions. So I don't mind KCP for tournaments on Friday. I think he's an interesting play at that price. Wes Matthews is 5.4K. He's always a fine cash game guy, but really, really safe floor. He's getting monster minutes. I won't say monster shots because his usage rate is like stuck at like 21%. I was shocked watching that entire last Dallas. Not shocked, but I mean, I was watching that entire last Dallas game because I had Wes Matthews in the last game of the night when no one else had anyone else going. And you know who's still really good at basketball? That's Deron Williams. Like, Deron Williams can still play. Like, I was, like, amazed. Like, how he looked, and he looked healthy. He had, like, a hop to his step. He was still doing things on that basketball court. And, like, down the stretch, it was all Deron. It was Deron Williams. It was, like, Deron Williams pick and roll with Harrison Barnes. Some Harrison Barnes post-ups. And occasionally Wes Matthews would stand in the three-corner, in the corner and get a three-pointer. Or occasionally they would let Wes Matthews post up against if they got a swish and he was and Lillard was on him. But there weren't a ton of shots for Wes Matthews in that offense, and that's probably why, you know, the ceiling is not great. It's probably why he's only a good cash game guy. Like offensively, they don't really utilize him that much. Like Darren Williams being back and playing really well hurts him. And also, like Wes Matthews, at least in the last game, he was a lockdown defender on Lillard. He did such a good job. So, I mean, he's exerting a ton of energy on whatever the defensive end, because he's always going to guard the opposing team's best player. But for cash games, he's fine. The ceiling is not fantastic with him. Will Barton, 5.4K? No, because even though you can attack Atlanta guards, you want to use Barton in a tournament, you can. But there's another Denver guy who you probably know that we'll get to in a minute who I prefer. Sean Kilpatrick, 5K. I mean, wow, Brooklyn got a tough little little two-game step here against Golden State on Thursday, and then Cleveland, the two best teams in the league, back-to-back. So interesting. I mean, Kilpatrick was okay on Thursday. 32 minutes, that was the key thing for me. Only gave you 18 FanDuel points, so he didn't really hit value. I was shocked he got 32 minutes, especially because Lynn came back, and Lynn looked phenomenal. Lynn looked really good. So check the news to see if Lynn's going to get a lot of minutes, because if Lynn is going to be – I mean, on Thursday he got 32 minutes and gave the 39 FanDuel points. I mean, I had him at 1% owned in some tournaments. If you play – if he's not going to be limited in minutes, I like him against Kyrie Irving in that Cleveland game on Friday. So, yeah, I mean, now Lynn's back. Kilpatrick's never going to be an elite play, but, I mean, you can do it in a tournament. Let's see. Where are we? Next up, Tony Allen. I mean, you guys know my feelings about Tony Allen. I always fade him. Last game I got him right because he only got 12 FanDuel points. But if there was a game to play him, it'd be in a game where Memphis is playing way up in pace against Houston and some James Harden defense, I guess, and technically in theory. So Tony Allen, 4.9K, the price has come down because he did have that stinker. You can roll him out. He's a relatively safe play. He's locked into big minutes, and that's a pretty good game in real life. The two teams who should be competing for that four spot in the West. So, Tony Allen, yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. Gary Harris, 4.7K, the G Dog. He crushed a lot of our. He was a soul crusher. He crushed a lot of us last time. First of all, Denver hasn't played since Tuesday. It seems like, man, DFS life, so much changes in every day. It seems like he hasn't played in a week. But he had three great games back from injury, 33, 25, 38. And then he had a clunker against the Clippers, only 8 FanDuel points, only 19 minutes. But I love that because that allowed – his price was about ready to skyrocket. That kept his price – basically FanDuel's giving him away. And his price dropped $100, and they're playing Atlanta, one of the worst teams in the world defensively against guards. So, yeah, give me some Gary Harris. I don't mind him using him. You know, some people won't want to do it in cash games on a 14-game slate, but I don't mind it in cash. And in tournaments, I will have a ton of Gary Harris. It allows me to save with a guy who has tremendous upside and you know, gives me a ton of salary for the rest of my lineup. So I like it a lot. JJ Reg's 4.4K. I had a lot of him on Thursday. He let me down. He let me down in minutes, 21 minutes versus the Spurs, only 15 FanDuel points. I mean, if Chris Paul is going to be out and Blake's out, I don't know. I think Redick should get some more shots in theory. Maybe you can play him a little bit. On a 14-game slate, though, like I said, you don't got to force any action, so you don't have to. There's Seth Curry, Garrett Temple, Josh Richardson. I would say I don't want to play Curry on 14 games. Temple's been fine, you know, with all the – and what is Caspi's illness? Does anyone know? I had an illness. I was out for one show, and I'm right back the next day. What is Caspi doing? The last two games, Temple has been a little subpar, 15 and 17, but that's who he is. In real life, he's not that good. So on a 14-game slate, I don't feel the need to force in a Temple. But he's relatively safe if you need – you know, if you don't want to play G. Harris – you know, you can play some Temple. And Josh Richardson, I mean, what do you want me – what else can I say about him? Again, he got 37 minutes against the Lakers, and he still couldn't do anything. He got 20 FanDuel points. He just can't shoot. He has no confidence. He's not involved in the offense at all. He's still playing decent defense. I mean, the sad thing is, at 4.2K, like, he was in a lot of winning GPP tournaments on a five-game slate. he's basically coming. He's the last two games. He's basically hit value. As pathetic as he's playing, I mean, I said on the last show, Winslow is going to, you know, win someone a GPP someday. Well, that happened on Thursday. Same thing for Josh Richardson. It will happen. I mean, one day he's just going to start making his three-pointers. And, you know, I can't predict when that's going to happen. But on 4.2K, I mean, I'll play a little of him. On a 14-game slate, I'm not going to get crazy and make him a core guy. Kyle Korver, 3.8K. I mean, if Dwight Howard's out, they've been starting Korver the last two games. And he's been sneaky okay, 25 and 19 FanDuel points. And the minutes have been great, 33 and 35. So, if Howard's out and Korver's going to be starting, he's cash game viable, as scary as that sounds. All right, small forward. Let me drink my smoothie, talk amongst yourselves. All right, the two Denver boys, Gallinari and Chandler. You guys should know my strategy for now about these two. But now Denver is actually starting both of these. It's pretty simple. Which one does the judge prefer? Say it with me. Wilson Chandler. And why do I prefer him? Usage rate. That is why. And Dom, let me pull the usage rates up for both of these guys. So Gallinari, 19%. Same as it's been for the last few weeks. Wilson Chandler, 24%. I want Wilson Chandler to be a little higher, quite honestly, but that's still, you know, at 5.9. So Chandler's 5.8K, Gallinari's 5.9K. They're both fine plays. I mean, they're both getting, you know, low 30s in minutes. I just think Chandler is the guy that I'd prefer to play because he has more upside. And, you know, Atlanta, they're probably going to get some Cephalosha defense. At least, I guess, Gallinari will get Cephalosha defense. Chandler gets Millsap defense. But Cephalosha is a pretty good defender. I'd probably just another reason I prefer Chandler. Jay Crowder, Oklahoma City at Boston, 5.7K. I mean, Crowder just does what he does. He grinds. 23, 22, 32, 21, 28, 26. He's totally fine for cash games again at that price on Friday. OKC, I like the fact that Boston's going to be playing up in pace here. I mean, I'm not sure who Roberson's going to be on for OKC. I mean, I don't think that. I mean, why waste Roberson on Crowder? And vice versa. I don't know who Crowder's going to defend. I mean, why waste Crowder on Roberson? Is Crowder going to be guarding Westbrook a little bit? I got to figure out how the matchups are going to work there. But either way, Crowder's a fine play, 5.7K. Trevor Ariza. Yeah, I just don't love this matchup for Houston. If I want to play the Houston bums, if I want to team up a Harden with an Ariza, with an Anderson, with a Beverly, I want to do it in an up-tempo game where I know Harden's going to get, you know, rack up 12 assists and three or four are going to go to the shooters. In this game, I'm a little concerned. There's going to be like, you know, just fewer shot attempts for all those guys. So I don't want to play Ariza. TJ Warren. I don't know if a lot of you guys realize TJ Warren is not back. I don't know if he's better than ever, but he's back. He played 29 minutes in Phoenix's last game against Houston, and he put up 29 FanDuel points. TJ Warren, I don't know if you guys can remember this far back, but, you know, it seems like 4 years ago. But about a month ago, he was really good, and he started off the year with a blaze. I mean, him and Booker both, but especially Warren. He was putting up 40 FanDuel points every night. Now he gets a disastrous Philly team. Peasant Covington is a decent defender, but I think Warren's he's an interesting tournament play. I'm going to need to check the news. If he's not going to be on any minute restrictions, you know, why can't TJ Warren give me some 30, 40 FanDuel point night? I mean, in Phoenix, there's no reason that they should be given minutes to 45-year-old PJ Tucker. You know, they got to play the young guys. They got to play Booker. They got to play Warren. They need to start playing that Alex Len more. So Warren's this under-the-radar, sneaky play for Friday. Lord Covington, 5.3K. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep rolling out Covington in lineups because the last few games he hasn't been shooting great, but he's locked into like 35-plus minutes, which for Philly, which for Coach Brown is amazing. And he's been 26, 27, 24, 23, the last three, and then before that, 40, 30, and 19, he has 40, 45, 50 FanDuel point upside. Philly is playing way up in pace here. quite honestly, I think he's in an elite spot right here. This is an elite spot for Lord Peasant Covington. So I will be using quite a bit of him on Friday. And I'm nervous about it. But as I drink my smoothie, I feel refreshed and a little bit better. Justice Winslow, I partly just want to fade him just because I hate chasing points on a 14-game slate. I mean, the problem here is because the pricing algorithm couldn't rectify itself because pricing doesn't – like, basically, for the game that Winslow had on Thursday, you won't see the price of that until the next time Miami plays. So next time, he could be a 5.5K player, but – he's still the same price as he was last night, 4.7K. That's too cheap because they're so banged up. And he's got 42 and 46 minutes the last two games. So is he going to give you 48 FanDuel points again? No, he's not playing the Lakers. He's playing the Pelicans. Much slower tempo game. But 4.7K, that's still very, very fair. That's a bargain price for him. So he's fine. You want to use him in cash games, it's okay. And you can throw him in a tournament or two again. Other than that, Luol Deng. Dude, you can keep using Luol Deng in cash games. He's totally fine, 4.6K. He's super consistent, 26, 26, 30, 21, 28, 30, 34. He opens up a lot of things for your lineup. You know, if you don't want to pay up for Jay Crowder at 5.7K, just use some Luol Deng at 4.6K as one of your cash game guys. Kent Bazemore, 4.5K. The Bays is an interesting tournament play. I don't want to touch him in cash. The minutes have been nice, 33, 40, and 30 the last three games, 23, 31, 29 FanDuel points. So he does have 40 FanDuel point upside. He's always somewhat risky, but he's fine. Cephalosha is kind of a little bit of the opposite, same price in that game. For cash, I prefer Cephalosha. In tournaments, I prefer the Bays. Both those guys are basically getting them about the same amount of minutes. You know, except Cephalosha has no usage rate. And Bazemore, where's the Bays? What's the Bays' usage rate? This can't be that great either, quite honestly. Whoa, 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 whoa. Is it much better than I thought it was? Oh, no, that's minutes. I saw a 27 pop up. I was like, 20s? That cannot be right. Yeah, 21.5% usage rate for the Bays. Yeah, so, I mean, not great on him either. Bogdanovich. I skipped over, guys. Aaron Gordon, 4.5K. I mean, the funny part is here is playing the Lakers. I mean, who just destroyed the Lakers? If you look at the Lakers' defense versus position versus small forward, guess what it is? They give up, not shockingly, the most points to opposing small forwards. Now, we saw Winslow take advantage of it. Why the hell can't Aaron Gordon take advantage of that? So, hey, I think he's worth a shot. Against the Lakers, I mean, Gordon's killed us all before, but dead last against small forwards. Gordon couldn't be in a better spot. Orlando playing way up in pace. Yeah, tournament play. He could pull the wins though. He does have the upside to give you a 45 point night. Double minutes with him. Mo Harkless versus San Antonio. Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel the need to play me some Harkless on a 14-game slate. Bogdanovich. I mean, it was funny because he started out the game like against Golden State on fire. He had like 10, 12 points in the first couple minutes and then nothing the rest of the game. I don't even know if he took a shot. It was bizarre. So, yeah, I don't really want Bogdanovich on a 14-game slate. That's about as cheap as I want to go. Wow, there's so many guys. I mean, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he played really well against Golden State, 27 FanDuel points. And he only got 24 minutes. I mean, if he would ever get 35, 40 minutes in an up-and-down game, he would go off. He's had, like, I think he had 150 FanDuel point night. Damari Carroll is still 4K, but at Utah, no thanks. Joe Ingles, I mentioned, 4K. I do think he's fine versus Toronto. Man, there's so many good guys at small forward and value guys. Roberson's 3.9K. Yeah, I probably won't do that. But what about Kelly Oubre? If Otto Porter's out, I know that they didn't start Kelly Oubre last game, and it made me really upset. Only got 22 minutes, so yeah, I guess we can't play Kelly Oubre. All right, that's it. All right, God, I keep mentioning guys. Brandon Ingram, fine. I'll mention him as well because I think, you know, he's probably going to start again. Does anyone do less with minutes than Brandon Ingram? I mean, man, same thing I said about, you know, with Winslow. One day, Brandon Ingram is going to win someone a GPP. And two nights ago, he did give me 33 fandom points against Cleveland. So, I mean, Luke Wilton is going to keep playing him tons of minutes. Like, Brandon Ingram does a lot of interesting things on the court. I mean, he's so long and athletic. 3.8K is so dirt cheap. I'm gonna use a little of him, but it feels like I'm forcing it a little bit with him on a 14-game slate, but I don't like doing. But in a couple GPPs, I'll do it. Just because that's so – I can get like three stars in my lineup if I get some cheapies like that. Power forward. Gorgie, Dang, 5.7K. Like, Dang is just – I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I can't think of one. What's like a movie that if it comes on the TV screen, you'll watch it? You know, it's not great, but it's just pretty good, and you just keep watching that movie, and you're not really sure why. I can't even think of a good example. That's like Gorgie Dang. Like, okay, if it's on TV, whatever, I'll watch it. Maybe it's like a TV show too that if it comes on TV, you just watch it. Like he just keeps plugging along, 30, 26, 18, 30, 23, 28, 23. So I mean, 5.7K. That's an okay price. I mean, I don't love the fact that Minnesota's playing way down in pace. But if you're really struggling and you don't know what to do in that price range, he's fine. I mean, he's going to get a lot of minutes, and he'll probably squeeze out a 25 Fando point night. Derek Favors, nope, not yet. Not getting enough minutes. He still only got 16 last game. God, could they move any slower with him? I mean, let's go. Up the minutes. Tobias Harris, 5.5K. All these Detroit guys are going to be interesting to me. Like, he has not looked good since Reggie Jackson's come back. That's you know, I can't say he has, but he's talent wise, he's at least like a 6K player, probably closer to 6.5K. Now the fact Draymond Green is coming back to defend him, that worries me a little bit. But still, you want to play a little Tobias in some tournaments. Yeah, I don't mind it. I will also say this: be on the lookout. Stan Van was going to make some changes to that lineup, and then like before last game, and then John Lure got in a car accident. So for whatever reason, Van Gundy couldn't start him, but he still played Lure 30 minutes. Yeah, that makes sense, Stan Van. Good job. But I mean, did the police officers tell you, well, he got in a car accident, so he, you know, he might be okay, but he can't start tonight. Like, what the hell is, what's the rationale with that? There's none. But so I'd probably prefer Lure, who's cheaper anyway, and I think Lure might end up starting. I don't know who he'd start for. Lure, quite honestly, might start for Marcus Morris. I'm not sure who would go to the bench in that situation. By the way, just an FYI, Jokic's price has skyrocketed up, which it should have. It's 6.7K now, so we're no longer going to get a Jokic at 5.9K. Went up $800. So now we actually have to make a legitimate decision on Jokic. And I at that price, I still think it's okay, but he's no longer like a must play. He's not going to be 50% owned, thank God. Where were we? Zach Randolph. Yeah, on a 14-game slate, I just don't have the need to do it. I mean, in theory, he should be able to dominate Ryan Anderson in the post or whoever Houston puts in him, but he's not going to get enough minutes. I don't think – if you want to throw him on cash, maybe, but I don't think he's going to have enough upside to help you win a tournament. Ilyasova, 5.5K. Conversely, I think Ilyasova potentially could be a guy that could help you take down a GPP. He's the unfortunately – because they got to roll out this troll Okafor. Ersan has lost about 6 minutes or so in playing time, 6 to 8 minutes, and that's a lot. And that's why I would love to go almost all in on Ersan versus Phoenix, playing way up in pace, but I can't do it because he's going to get only 26 minutes. So at 26 minutes, you know, if I have 10 lineups, maybe I'd play one with Ersan. I want to attack the Philly guys because they're playing up in pace. Just – It's hard because Okafor. I mean, Okafor and Embiid is the worst pairing on the court together. It makes zero sense. We have to rest the season. We have to watch it. And they even said they're going to try to do it all next year too. I think it's ridiculous. Markieff Morris, 5.4K. Yeah, this is not the day I want to roll out Markieff. Not a 14-game slate. Same with Jermichael Green. I just don't want to do it. 5.3K. I mean. Yeah, Yeah, whatever. I guess in cash, it's the exact same thing I said about Randolph. Copy and paste for Jamichael Green. He should be able to bully his way with Ryan Anderson, or actually maybe some Harrell or Nene, whoever else might guard him as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't love Jamichael Green. He's okay. For cash games, he's okay. Booker burned me last couple nights. I think I might stay away. Maybe one lineup. Cantor. Cantor's at Magic Mountain. He's going to go off for a 30-40 FanDuel point every 10 games or so. You know, it's all about minutes. I can't predict when he's going to play, when he's not. It makes zero sense to me. 34 minutes versus New Orleans. Before that, the last time he got 30 minutes in a game was December 4th. And he had 15, 14, 18, 19, 25, 14, 15 minutes before that 30-point game on December 4th. So if you can figure out what the hell the rationale was to give him minutes, please let me know, because I would love to be involved in that decision-making. Now, in theory, it should be because Oladipo is out and they need scoring and you need someone who can score, so play some Cantor. And Sabonis stinks. He isn't ready to play yet. But Coach Donovan seems to be a moron when it comes to this, and he won't play him. Like, sometimes if someone's really good offensively, it does make up for their defensive liabilities. And I think Cantor is that talented, especially because Westbrook does need some help on that team offensively. It's just so frustrating. I would love Cantor to get some Amir Johnson defense too. He could eat that guy up. Terrence Jones is 5K. I'm pretty sure Terrence Jones is on the verge, if not starting with Anthony Davis, you know, playing 30-plus minutes on a consistent basis. 34 and 30 last two, 28 and 32. Quite honestly, I think he's in an interesting spot here. I don't love the game because the pace is going to be slow against Miami. But Miami doesn't really have a power forward right now. I mean, Josh McRoberts. I mean, Terrence Jones has been really good lately, really sneaky. The problem is this is a 14-game slate, so you can't get super excited for a Terrence Jones. But he's perfectly fine to play in all formats right now. Ryan Anderson, not an ideal situation here against Memphis, but tournament play. Fareed is basically the same as Enes Kanter. I mean, quite honestly, one of every ten games or so, he's going to go nuts. You don't know what the minutes are going to be. There's no rhyme or reason. Enes Kanter is a little more offensively skilled on the offensive end, but Fareed will make up for it in other ways. Get put back dunks and just, you know, transition hoops and things like that. I mean, it's weird. I mean, Fareed tournaments, he's cheap. He can give you 30 or 40. Atlanta, Denver should be an up and down game. For tournaments, I don't mind it. It's just, don't be surprised if you get 10 minutes. John Lure, like I said, if there's a guy from Detroit, I'm going to pounce on some Reggie Jackson. My two favorite Pistons would probably be Jackson and then Lure, followed by some KCP. So I would expect him, quite honestly, to start. Now, the problem is he gets Draymond Green, which is probably going to kick him in the nuts. But John Lure, yeah, give me some Lure, playing the way up in pace. I like it. Alex Len, tournaments only. Yeah, I mean, they're still trolling out Chandler, and they're splitting time with Chandler and Len, so it's hard to get too excited there. Dwight Powell is fine, but on a 14-game slate, you don't need to force that. And other than that, wait, where's my boy Harrell, man? Where are you, Harrell? I thought his price was going to go way up. It did not. His price is still stayed at 4K. I don't love the matchup versus Memphis, but man, do I want to play him for cash still? He fits that Houston team really well. I mean, Houston is going to try to run against Memphis. I don't know how productive they're going to be. I mean, the problem for me in this Houston game, Houston Memphis, is Nene is a better fit for this game. Like, most of the time, Harrell's going to be a better play. But this could be a game, my sneaky ninja of the night, might be this could be a Nene game if Nene plays. If Nene gets, he's a fantasy point per minute guy. If he gets now Nene's a center and Harrell's a power forward, so it also changes things up a little bit. And on FanDuel, it's tough because you only get one center. But I will have one or two lineups where I play some Nene. And I'll probably have one or two where I play Harrell too, because Harrell's 4K, that's dirt cheap. They both should get around 24 minutes, I would think, on Friday. Well, there's lots of value guys at every position. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful way, a beautiful thing on Friday to see how all of us create some magical artwork in line and build some lineups. All right, center. Valanciunas, 5.4K. You guys know I love Valanciunas. Always underowned. No one plays him. But against Gobert, I don't play anyone against Gobert. I mean, Valanciunas is cheap enough where you could do it. And I do like the fact that he'll probably get extra minutes because there's a big on the other side of the court. He'll be like he'll be less than 1% owned on Friday. Maybe in one tournament I'll do it. But yeah, it's not a super wise maneuver. Steven Adams, 5.2K. He appears to like have turned some little corner. In the last game versus New Orleans, he only got 23 minutes. Enes Kanter took a lot of his minutes. Now, that was one of the few games. Like, I didn't watch. I saw the first half of that game. I don't know what I was doing the second half, what game I was watching. But I don't – like, no, I was watching a lot of that last end of that game too. Like, I'm not sure where the minutes – why Adams' minutes went down to only 23. And quite honestly, if you look at the game logs, he's got like a ceiling of like 31 minutes these days. That's a little upsetting. Maybe it's better news for Kanter. But yeah, so normally you can attack Boston centers a little bit, but I don't love that play on this 14-game slate. It's okay for cash games. Excuse me. Okafor, 5.2K. I'm not going to play him just out of spite. That's always a good reason not to play someone, right? Whatever. He's 5.2K. They are playing up way up in pace against Phoenix. What's this Buster's usage rate? I think his usage rate is actually decent. 23 point – no, that's his minutes. Man, why do they put minutes next to usage rate? That's annoying. His usage rate is – wow, when there's so many players, my eyes are – I can't – Like my Excel spreadsheet for all this is just, there's too many guys, 14 games, too many. 22%, wow, so not a great usage rate. I mean, Embiid is probably making that go lower by the minute. So, yeah, I don't love that play. You want to play my Bunyan, Tristan Thompson at 5K? Another just ideal matchup for him. Brook Lopez, who can't move, can't jump, can't defend. I mean, Tristan Thompson, 32 fandom points last night out. In only 26 minutes, he plays around 28 minutes a night, and he typically will get you. He'll grind. He'll find a way to grind 20, 25 for you. Biombo has come up to 5K now. That's disgusting. I don't want to. Wow, how is Bismack putting up these numbers? I mean, he's been good. 28, 19, 28, 23, 25, 26, 29. And now Orlando gets a matchup versus the Lakers. I don't think I want to do it. If you want to use him because it's the Lakers, and look, the game logs don't lie. He no offensive game at all. I mean, but whatever. Yeah, against the Lakers, you can do it. I mean, you can do things against the Lakers in Brooklyn that normally you wouldn't do. Wow, so if you had to play Tristan, if you put a gun to my head and said play, which I hope you don't do, and said Tristan or Bismack, wow, which one would I do? I guess, quite honestly, I think I'd go Bismack for Friday, which is disgusting. I hate both of them. Tyson Chandler, yeah, I don't want to do it. My boy Robin Lopez, 4.8K. Man, the last time that the Bulls played, Taj Gibson must have thrown Lopez out of the way for like 7 or 8 rebounds. It was infuriating. Similar to how Markieff like threw Gortat out of the way for like 4 or 5 rebounds. And that was the night where that actually cost me thousands of dollars because I had Gortat everywhere and I was 6 points away from winning the top prize in the Swoosh, which is like a $50 single entry GPP. But yeah, I mean, Lopez, he just has not lately been great. The Bulls struggling overall. You can do Lopez in a tournament. I don't think I do it on cash games on this slate. The two Bucks guys, Greg Monroe and Henson, are both 4.6K. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to play either of them either on this slate. Other than that, I mentioned Nene. I mean, watch the news. But if he's going to start, Normally, I don't like playing guys against Memphis, but at 3.9K, if he just stumbles his way into a couple rebounds, you know, stumbles his way into a couple buckets, I mean, that it basically hits value. So, and not the best matchup in the world, like for that Houston team, but I think it enables Nene to get more minutes because, I mean, I think he's a better defender than Harrell, and that therefore, I think it's intriguing. I think he could give me 20, 25 FanDuel points. All right, that's it for center. That is it, my friends. That was the bargain shopping show. Hopefully it was all right. Yeah, I got to say, it wasn't as fun to do a show where I can't talk about all the stars. Couldn't talk about Westbrook. Couldn't talk about who else is playing. Anthony Davis. All the Top Guns. It just didn't feel right. But we had to do it. 14 games, too many. I think it was already over an hour or so. So happy holidays. Hope you guys did well. If you guys have been nice this year, you will get a special show for DFS Saturday, which is one of my favorite days of the year to play DFS. There's no NBA games on – oh, sorry, a special show for Sunday, which is Christmas. No games on Saturday, which is sad. So, you know, day off of NBA, you can actually hang with your family if you want to. But other than that, hope you made money on Wednesday or Thursday. Hope you enjoy this 14-game slate. Remember, knock off some games, narrow the player pool because too much data. You got to find a way to make it manageable. Other than that, good luck in Chambers. Best of the best on Friday. If you made it, congrats. Tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Download the app Draft. Challenge me. I am the judge on there. Otherwise, man, whew, court is adjourned.